Morning. How you guys doing? We got a woot, a couple woots there. It's a new year, right? Raise the roof, Shaw back there. You guys feeling okay? You asleep? What's going on? Yeah? Okay. All right. It's 2015. Isn't that crazy? I don't know about you guys, 2014 seemed to fly by for me. It was like a blur. Maybe I just keep getting older and it just keeps flying, but I don't know what's going on. But it's a new year. And this morning we thought we might change it up a little bit. So there's going to be a bit of a talk, but we want this to be a little more interactive than normal. We thought, let's see how this goes, okay? But it's going to require some participation on your part. So judging from that first, like, how are you doing? That's not going to cut it. We're going to need a little more, you know, a little more Tim shouting out here and there. Okay, good. Good, a good dog bark, that's good. That's not exactly the kind of participation we're looking for. Okay, so you're going to have a little bit of time throughout this talk to just reflect on some questions on your own. During that time, feel free to write down your thoughts. I don't know if you have a handout maybe or if you have someplace else. We'll have a time to discuss some questions in small groups and a time where I'll just ask you some questions as I'm talking, and hopefully you'll shout out or give us a bark, something, okay? You guys up for that? You can't just sit here today. All right. Well, we're going to be taking a lesson from New Year's today, right? We just celebrated New Year's, and there's something about, Kyle was saying this, there's something about a new year that gives us fresh hope, isn't there? I'm not exactly sure what it is. Maybe it's just that we have kind of a fresh beginning. Maybe it's the hope that this year could be better than last year in some way. I'm not sure. But regardless, it seems like there's a sense of fresh hope, a newness. You guys sense that right now in your life? We're heading into a new year. Maybe, oh, okay, I have some ideas about how this year might be a little different. Well, we want to take advantage of that. We're going to be talking about hope. Last week, Kyle talked about hope. This morning, we're going to keep talking about hope. Hope for this new year, okay? But before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for just this opportunity to be together, to worship you. We thank you for a new year. We thank you for fresh hope, a new start. We thank you for that excitement that's there. We pray that you would help us to have hope as we head into this new year, that we would trust in you, that our hope would be in you, not in ourselves or anything else, God. We pray for this morning that you would speak to us, that you'd bless this time. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, well, I want to just take a quick step back here. Did you guys do anything special to celebrate New Year's? Okay, shout out what you did. We have watching football. Anybody watch football? A couple people watch football. What about the rest? The rest of you didn't watch any football over all of break? Wow, are you serious? How many of you watched football over break? Okay, that's a little more. I was like, wow, like one-third of you pay attention to football. New Year's is like football crazy. Okay, so you watch football. You watch the Buckeyes beat the tough SEC. What else did you do to celebrate? Party. Went to parties? What'd you do at the parties? Eat. Food. Absolutely. One of the best ways to celebrate. My favorite. What else? Caught up with people? What people?
Family.
Okay. Kyle. Brother Kyle. Shout out there. Good. Family. What else?
Played complicated board games.
Another favorite. Not just catchphrase. Seven Wonders with Leaders and Cities expansions. I did some of that. It was good. Okay. Yeah, you guys have the idea, right? That we do a lot of things to celebrate. I like to think of the five F's. Food, family, friends, football, and fireworks. Fireworks. You know, if you hit on all five, it was a good celebration, right? That's all around solid celebrating. Nobody said resolutions. Any of you guys do a New Year's resolution? We got a hoot, one hoot. How many of you guys did a new are doing a New Year's resolution? You have a New Year's resolution. Three, four, okay, five, six, okay. I'm telling you, you gotta participate this morning. This is gonna go down in flames otherwise. Okay, so four of you have a New Year's resolution. Would you be willing to share about what that resolution is? Anybody? It's okay if you don't want to, that's fine. Anybody share?
I want to eat healthier and work out.
Eat healthier. Just eat healthier and work out at least once. That's good. What else? Anybody else have one they'll share? Reading the Bible in a year. Good. Very good. Okay. Well, there are a lot of people who do New Year's resolutions, despite what our little study showed this morning. I don't know if this is a representative sample population. Okay, so I did a little research about New Year's resolutions. This is from the University of Scranton, from their Journal of Clinical Psychology. Okay? Never heard of that before, but I'm trusting their research. Here are the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2014. That's last year, guys, last year. Okay. Number one, lose weight. Number two, get organized. Three, spend less, save more. Four, enjoy life to the fullest. Five, stay fit and healthy. Six, learn something exciting. Seven, quit smoking. Eight, help others in their dreams. Nine, fall in love. And 10, spend more time with family. Okay, so those are the top 10 things. We hit on a couple of those. Some of those I don't know how you make happen. That could be a challenge. Have you ever thought about why so many people would make a New Year's resolution? Why do you think people make New Year's resolutions? Go ahead and shout out your ideas. They want the new year to be different. Absolutely.
They want to be better.
Absolutely. Isn't it because on some level, we sense a need for change? We sense a need for improvement in our lives. Not everything is as it should be. We want things to be different or to be better. And I don't know about you, maybe you've already had lots of time over the last few weeks to just sit and ponder about your life. But if you're like me, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind of activities and family and friends, a lot of good things. But I didn't have much time to just sit and think. Think about my life, think about the new year. And either way, if you had time or if you didn't, I thought it would be good for us to take some time this morning to just sit and think about this question. As you head into this new year, where do you sense God leading you to make a change in your life? Maybe there's just one area, maybe there's a few areas that you might come to mind where you think God might be leading you into some new area of growth. Okay, it could be in a relationship or your relationship with the Lord, maybe victory and some sin struggle, a pattern of behavior that you'd like to change. Maybe you'd like to have a different attitude in some situation. Those are just some ideas. But what we're going to do is take a few minutes for you to sit alone with a room full of people, but sit on your own and think about that question. Pray a little bit and write down the things that come to your mind. Where do you sense God leading you to make a change in your life this new year? And then after a few minutes, we'll keep going. Okay? All right. I know that was a short couple minutes there. You guys able to think of anything? Think of something? I'm not asking for you to share. I'm just, is that good? Something come to mind? Well, I don't know about you guys, But when I find myself in that spot, in a spot where I feel like, yeah, I've identified something that I think God would have me grow in, my temptation is to just go from that to taking matters into my own hands and just trying to make whatever change happen. To sort of power up, to get myself ready for battle, you know, convince myself that I've got the willpower to make whatever change is necessary. Have you ever experienced that? Have you done that in your life? You're like, all right, I got this. Now is my time. Okay, I'm going to stop drinking coffee. But what happens in the end when we do that? I don't know for you guys. For me, it doesn't work. I found that putting my hope in myself doesn't work. I rarely end up actually doing whatever it was that I set out to do. And I think New Year's resolutions are a great example of that for us, aren't they? This is that same study from University of Scranton. Okay, New Year's resolution statistics. 24% of people never succeed and just totally fail on their resolution each year. And by that they mean they actually never, like, never did whatever it was. So if it was workout, they're like, this is my resolution, never made it to the gym. Okay? 1/4 of the people. Okay, that's not great. Then almost 50% have infrequent success at their resolution. I don't know exactly how they define infrequent success. It's definitely not lasting, and it's probably not a regular change in their behavior, all right? And they found that just 8% are actually successful in achieving their resolution. Okay, and I was reading those statistics and being the nerdy math statistician that I am in my heart. I said 24 and 49 and 8 does not equal 100%. What's going on? And later they said 19% of people didn't bother to let them know how it went later. Okay? So you can fill in where those 19% are in that study, but I'm guessing it's not in that 8%. All right? If they can't bother to say this is how it went, it's probably not good news. Anyway, the point is that in all of this is that we're tempted to put our hope in ourselves. And we do this in our lives. We look to our own strength, our own ability, our own toughness or willpower. And in the end, it doesn't work. It's a recipe for disappointment. And in fact, we're only left feeling even less hopeful than we were to begin with, because now we've just seen, yep, I can't make this change happen. That same study showed that about 40% of people never make a resolution at all. Okay, if you take our study, it'd be about 95% of people don't make a resolution at all. And I don't want to speak for you for why you do or don't make New Year's resolutions. I didn't make one yet, at least. I don't know if you can make one late. Anyway, my guess is that a lot of those people have done it in the past and found it doesn't work. It doesn't work to just say, I'm going to do something, and then in the end, I never make it to the gym once. 25% of people. They've seen that it doesn't work. And this reminded me of this passage in Romans 7 where Paul is talking about sin. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? That's a tongue twister You guys see where Paul is coming from? Can you feel his struggle there? He wants to do good, but he can't. He knew that putting his hope in his own ability to change was worthless. In fact, at the very end, he said he needed help from outside himself, someone to rescue him. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of Ephesians 2, the beginning of Ephesians 2, where it says, "As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." I love that passage because it's pretty counter to what our culture thinks about life, right? And we see this in our New Year's resolutions. Our culture says our problem is we just need to try harder, all right? It's about being good and bad. We just need to be a little better, work a little harder. You're bad, and you need to make yourself a little better. But this passage said that we're dead in our transgressions and sins. I recently heard a pastor say that maybe a bad person can make himself better, but a dead person is out of luck, okay? Totally unable to help themselves. So what about you? Have you experienced this in your life, trusting in yourself and your own ability to make these changes happen? I wanted to give you a few more minutes to just think through a couple of these questions on your own again, okay? First question is this: how have you experienced the disappointment of trusting in yourself to create a change in your life? And the second is, in the area of your life where you sense God leading you to make a change, how are you tempted to put your trust or hope in yourself or your own strength or your own ability? Gonna have a few more minutes to think about these questions, and then we'll come back together. All right. So we sense that there's a need for change. And we've seen that putting our hope in ourselves is just a dead end. We need outside help, and we know that that help, our hope, comes from Jesus. Jesus is the only one worthy of our hope and trust. If we go back to that Ephesians passage in 2, the first verse said, "As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins." And then in verse 4, he kind of picks up that thought. He says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We were dead in our sins, utterly helpless. But by grace and through faith in Jesus, God has made us alive in him. And so our hope is in Jesus. That passage was talking about our salvation. Our hope for a restored relationship with God is Jesus. And that's also true for our lives here and now. Jesus is our hope for restored relationships here. He's our hope for seeing those changes in our life that we feel like he's leading us to make. He is our hope. Whatever came to your mind when you thought about the change that God might be leading you to, Jesus is your hope for seeing that change happen. And as we head into this new year, I thought it would be really good for us to just take some time and think about that. Do we really believe that? Are you putting your trust, your hope, in Jesus this year? Or is it in someone or something else? You know, it's one thing to say that we trust Jesus in these areas, and then it's another to know what that actually looks like, right? You ask for help. What do I do here? Somebody says, trust Jesus. Great. Okay, well, what does that look like? What do I do? So we're going to have some time to be in a small group to talk about that with each other, okay? Some questions that relate to how can we live this out? So here are the questions. What would it look like for you to put your hope and trust in Jesus? How might that look differently than if your hope was in yourself or in someone else? And then what are some actual steps that you could take that would help you turn to Jesus this year? Those questions make sense? Okay, so you just have to create small groups around where you're sitting, all right? 3 to 5. Okay, so you have a few minutes to talk about these things, maybe help each other even think through what's a step I could take to trust in Jesus this year. And then we'll come back together. All right. Let's come back together. Too much participation. Time's up. I'm just kidding. Hey, let's come back together. Sorry, I know that wasn't a lot of time, but we're almost out of time here. Okay, well, let that just get you thinking about some of those questions, okay? I think for any of these things that we were taking time to think about, we could use a little more time than 2 minutes here or there to think through some of these questions. So far, we've really been focusing on the here and now. We talked about salvation. We talked about here and now in our life. But our hope in Jesus isn't just for the here and now, right? It's for the future as well. I love this passage in 1 Peter 1. In verse 3, it says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Because of Jesus, we have a great inheritance to look forward to that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept for us, shielded by God's power. It's certain." We don't necessarily talk a lot about that inheritance, but for one, there'll be a new world free of sin and decay. We'll have new bodies that don't die. There will be no more sin, no more death. We'll finally be with God completely. One of my favorite passages is in Revelation 21. It's talking about this. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Because of Jesus, we have a certain inheritance to look forward to, regardless of what's going on in our lives here and now. So this is the beginning of a new year. We have new hope. There's a new beginning, a freshness. And this year we do have hope, not in ourselves to muster strength, to manufacture changes in our lives, not in other people, not in other things, but in Jesus. For the here and now in our everyday lives, for our salvation, and for that future inheritance that's kept for us. Let's head into this new year with our hope firmly resting on Jesus. He's the only one that won't let us down. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thanks for the opportunity for us to be here and to talk about this fresh start that we have at the beginning of the year. God, we pray that you would help us to place our hope firmly in you. God, that we would trust you this year, we'd look to you and not anything else. We tell you that we love you in your name. Amen.